What if you could measure your employer brand as a single number? What if you could track it over time? We do that. It's called the Employer Brand Index. Continuously measuring what's positive and negative about you as an employer from a candidate perspective is the key. The Employer Brand Index helps you measure your employer brand and validates your perceptions or draw up a few surprises, both good and bad. The Employer Brand Index works best when done over time to see how things are changing. Some companies use it as a baseline before they launch their EVP. Others add in some talent competitors to see how they stack up. Stay on top of your employer brand. Go to employerbrandindex.co to learn more.
Hey, 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 Sansvesan, it's Jorgen Sundberg here, yay, with the Employer Branding Podcast by Link Humans, London's employer branding agency, serving the world. This week, we're talking to an employer branding pioneer inside a growing tech company. Plenty of useful tips and tricks in this episode, so please pay full attention. Let's start the show. Hey, Ben, how's it going?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you doing?
Yeah, very good, thanks. So please let us know who you are, what you do, and what brings you on this podcast.
Sure. So I'm Ben. I am currently the Senior Technical Talent Partner and Employer Branding Specialist at ForgeRock. I think I also get the award for longest title.
Yeah.
I've been at ForgeRock for about 4 years now, or just coming up to. Seen the company grow from 180 to 550 people. And I think the one thing that drew me to this podcast is that I am a big fan of just sharing knowledge. I've been kind of drawing a lot of skills from a lot of people in various different groups and forums. So it'd be good to kind of, you know, just have a bit of a one-to-one and share some of my stories.
Fantastic. And so ForgeRock, it's kind of a cool name, but I'm not exactly sure what ForgeRock does. So please enlighten me and our listeners.
Sure. So I'll give you a bit of background. We're currently now up to about 550 people, as previously mentioned. Grown over the last 8 years now, from just five guys around a dining room table to 14 offices globally around the world with lots of other remote workers as well. We've got a headquarters in San Francisco, which I've been fortunate enough to visit a couple of times. And our international headquarters in Bristol, England, which is where I spend most of my time. What ForgeRock actually does is we provide the most simple and comprehensive identity and access management solution out there to really help our customers deepen their relationships with their customers and improve connectivity with their employees.
That's a good spiel, but what does that actually mean?
Exactly. So, to kind of put that into context, I'll give you a use case, and a lot of people kind of really understand it from that point of view. So in the past, if we look at BBC, for example, they're one of our customers. So if I don't know if you've ever logged into, you know, the BBC iPlayer app or anything like that.
I'm trying to avoid it, but they're saying you have to log in very soon.
Yes, indeed. So the reason for that is, in the past, if you went on to their service and I went on, we'd both have, I don't know, Downton Abbey or EastEnders forced down our throats. Now, I may like Downton Abbey and you may like EastEnders, but we both don't like the same stuff all the time. So through using ForgeRock, BBC have been able to really get their customers a more ingrained experience that can feel very tailored and personal to them, thus giving them a greater user experience, because, you know, they come onto the service knows what they want to see. And it's, you know, it's like the traditional saying, you know, you get a good service, you keep coming back, right?
Yeah.
So we're also doing a lot of really cool stuff with leaders in the banking, automotive, and healthcare industry. And at present, you know, we've got a lot of growth planned for the next few years. So it's a really exciting time for us, because, you know, the identity and access management world is only growing, and people are more and more concerned about, you know, their consent and their access to, you know, various different services. So for us, it's a really good market to be in at the moment.
Well, I wonder how that translates into the world of HR and talent. I'm sure we might get to that. But tell us about your journey into the exciting world of employer branding.
So like probably 99% of the recruitment population, I fell into recruitment.
Yeah.
And I'd always been, well, always had a very creative mind and skill set. One of my first jobs, I was actually a hairdresser, which people find it very hard to believe given my severe lack of hair. So I'd always been very creative and very sort of focused on working with people. So with this passion, in my recruitment role, became very keen on focusing my attention to driving a lot of attention towards employee stories. And at that time, I didn't even know what employer branding was. I was just thinking, hey, people need to know what our people feel and experience. And that was something I just wanted to do. And it seemed like a good idea to me. And then as I progressed, I started to think, oh, wow, actually, there's a whole group of people out there like me that, you know, back when I first started doing it, we all kind of shared this kind of common view of, we don't really know where we're going with this. We just know that what we're doing is, you know, it's sought after. People are really engaging with it. And the feedback we're getting from our candidates is, this is brilliant. Show me more. And so I started kind of going down the route of employer branding from a very green and, I suppose, ignorant outlook, not really knowing where I was going. And then as I started to create this toolkit and became more invested and could really see the return on investment from showing our stories to people, really creating better tools for social engagement. So even like just social tiles that say, you know, hey, we're hiring for this job, rather than just a random URL thumbnail that takes you to a career page. And that's where it really kind of took off for me. And now I've created a employer branding toolkit for the business that our talent partners are all able to dip into, pull out resource.
So what's in this toolkit?
So we have everything from stock footage and photos from our, you know, offices and events we host internally, right through to all the up-to-date sort of logo and marketing material. And every piece of content that I create gets saved there. So at any point, we can pull it out and use it. So for example, I've just finished creating a team Q&A session with one of our technical teams. Now, that's great because, you know, as talent partners, we can give a good insight into the role. But to be able to actually say to a candidate, hey, look, these are, you know, two team members in the team now. This is what they're doing. This is what they love. This is why they love working here. You know, have a look, read a bit. And for us, it's really valuable to be able to just pull that out and give it to a candidate rather than the candidate kind of going, well, I think I get it, but now I've got to wait to talk to somebody. We're like, no, you don't need to wait. Here's the information. Right through to, like I said, social tiles. So when anyone goes to advertise anything on their social channels, they can tag a graphic to that with a really good call for action, right through to all the process documents and other stuff we're working on.
And so where does this toolkit sit? Is it like a shared drive? And also, how do you make sure that people actually access and use this?
So the first part of your question, it's currently hosted in a Google Drive, mm-hmm. where our talent partners will have access to it. And the second question, I think the main thing is educating team members on the real value of using this.
Yeah.
Because it's great to say, hey, you know, I've done all this amazing stuff. And then people go, yeah, but, you know, like, I'm just going to do it my way. Well, that's great. But here's some use cases I can show you. And what I do is I regularly, you know, get emails circulated that say, hey, thanks for this. This is amazing. Keep it up. And really kind of saying, you know, guys, this is working. This is the way things are going. And I'm quite an advocate for the fact that as talent partners, we need to be very kind of evolved and blur the lines between talent partnering and being a marketeer. And as you can imagine, some talent partners are less adverse to it because they feel like it's just all creative. So part of my role in developing this toolkit is to say, you don't need to do anything. It's all here for you to, you know, pull out and use. So fortunately, you know, our team have really seen the benefit in that. And so, yeah, we've had a very good adoption rate for the team.
Great. Okay. So what lessons can you share with others out there trying to push the importance of employer brand within their organizations?
I suppose the lessons I've learned along the way is, well, first and foremost, making marketing your ally is absolutely key. I'm very lucky that not only do we have an awesome support for employer branding for our marketing team, but they also really see the value in what we're doing as well. It's not just, oh, talent are doing this and, you know, we'll help them with it. It's like they're really behind it. So I think first and foremost, really getting marketing on side is key. And I think if a company is thinking about moving its focus towards an employer branding type recruitment model, it's very important to collaborate as early as possible, because there's nothing worse on, you know, than the team going off and siloed, and then all of a sudden, not only the business not know what they're doing, but it might also not be in line with the kind of continuity of the overall brand. So I think that's a really key kind of obstacle to get out of the way.
So is that collaboration with marketing?
Yeah, I would say marketing, but I would also, you know, go as far as to say, you know, with HR and from a legal standpoint as well. Yeah. You know, I think making sure you've got all your bases covered before you're getting that kind of pushback on the actual content you're creating or questions about it, I think is a really good key for, you know, success at the early stages. And I would also say, you know, sharing other companies' experiences and other people's experiences. I've regularly, you know, passed on information that I've received from people in my network in the employer branding world, that's really helped me to research a lot deeper, but then educate the team and the business on, you know, the initiatives that we're doing within employer branding.
Mm-hmm.
And lastly, I think a lot of people come into it, you know, pushing employer branding with the kind of goal of putting all, you know, what they think is awesome in front of candidates. But I think what's key is putting what your people think is awesome in front of other people. It's quite easy to get consumed in employer branding and go, well, I've worked on this and it's brilliant, and be quite siloed. But being collaborative allows you to kind of look at it from multiple different angles. And as many times I've kind of, you know, come up to a group of, you know, my approvers and said, hey, I've done this, I want to go live with it. And, you know, they kind of take chunks out of it. And afterwards, in listening to them, I'm like, oh yeah, this is really now going to resonate with the audience. Whereas before, it might have just been, you know, I had just become a bit too consumed with what I was doing.
Yeah, got it. So where do you see employer branding professionals going wrong? What hard lessons have you got to share with us?
In terms of hard lessons, I think it would probably go back to not collaborating with my marketing team as early as possible. Because, you know, like I said, you create something, you think it's great, and the audience might pick it up and think it is as well. But from an internal perspective, you know, they appreciate it, but at the same time, they can see all the ways it could have been improved and really be on the same sort of tone of voice as the overall brand. That would be sort of my main lesson that I've learned along this path. I've always been somebody that has had the opinion that perfection trumps productivity. But I think in this environment, we really need to kind of be as on the ball as we can when projecting our message and tone of voice into the market.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, and in general, where, how do you see an employer brand being applied in the wrong way, you think?
I think what a lot of companies are doing that are late to the employer branding game is that they're still very keen to bang the drum about, you know, free beer, ping pong, bean bags. And frankly, from my perspective, I find it kind of old news. And all of that is great. And we as a company do provide that, but we also provide a lot more. And just by going on about, you know, the quirky things that you provide, to me, it doesn't provide any real meaning or sense of value. So what I would like to see other companies doing is really talking about, you know, the sense of value and the experiences that their employees get before how, you know, wonderful and wacky their workspace is, because, you know, we've seen it time and time again that, you know, everybody gets excited about a new office environment, but that excitement only lasts for so long.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's an argument saying that those sort of things, the beer and the foosball tables, that's table stakes now. Got to go beyond that. Yeah,
it's you know, it's everybody's doing it, right? Yep. You know, everybody from the big companies to small companies to the, you know, the kind of the collaborative working spaces. It's just common you know, behavior now.
Yeah, and if we look at technology, what would be your top pieces of tech that you cannot live without?
I'd probably say first and foremost would have to be Adobe Photoshop. I do a lot of my designs in there. It's quite funny because, you know, you can spend an hour on one image or document or you know, business unit handout, and people go, oh yeah, that's great, and they just see it as words on a picture, whereas in reality, you know, getting everything absolutely crisp and perfect can take a long time. But in using Adobe Photoshop, it's really allowed me to just make every image look like it's all part of the whole package. I would say before using Adobe, I actually used something called Canva. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's very good. And I used that for quite a long time until I was able to get a Photoshop license at work. It's great. You know, it gives anybody who's, you know, maybe not the most technically creative, you know, brilliant asset to be able to, you know, start creating things from, you know, within minutes. And I'd probably go, you know, I don't know if we can kind of call LinkedIn, you know, employer branding tech, but for me, LinkedIn is still one of my most used resources. You know, able to really, you know, project our brand to not just my network and talent partner network, but, you know, we encourage all of our people to say, hey, you know, look, we've just created this article, we've just, you know, gone live with this role. Have a read. If it'd be great if you could like, share, comment on it. Because I'm very keen to educate people on that. A lot of people will say, well, I'm a support engineer and this is an accountant role. I'm not going to share this. This isn't relevant for me. But it's like, yeah, that's fine. But you might like that. And somebody that you worked with in a previous role that you haven't spoken to for 2 years might now be looking for that job. So that kind of add-on effect from that sort of networking and social promotion is really, really key for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we look at measuring success, do you have a magic formula for the ROI from employer brand?
I wish I did. I think we're just starting to kind of look at, you know, our kind of traffic from the different articles and, you know, handouts and so on we put together. So we've included that in our application form. I'm quite aware that, you know, with that there can come some you know, incorrect data that people might just enter it and just to go through the application process. So I'm quite keen to be speaking to new starters and saying, you know, okay, well, where did you, you know, see us and what did you read? What did you know before, you know, speaking to us? And then obviously, you know, tied to our applicant tracking system, we can see where kind of people came in. It doesn't really give me a return, you know, a statistic on ROI for what I'm doing. So I'm still trying to figure out, you know, hours on employer branding versus cost saving on recruitment. So if there's anybody out there that can school me on this, I think it would be very, very useful.
So what ATS do you use?
Currently use Greenhouse.
Greenhouse. Okay. So you didn't mention that in the tech stack. Is that because it's not as essential as LinkedIn?
I'll be honest, I'm not biased to majority of ATSs. I just find that no ATS does exactly what you want it to.
Yeah.
You know, so for me, whilst I love Greenhouse and it's a far cry, you know, from what we were using previously, I could pick up another tool tomorrow and start using that. So it's more an ATS as a tech tool. Great. Specific one, I'm not too, you know, fussed on.
Fair enough. All right. So what is up next for your employer brand and also employer brand in general? What are your predictions?
Well, for me personally, brand ambassadors is you know, right up there on my list. And I think it's really important for a company like ours and any global company really to be able to, you know, pull stories from every part of our organization. One thing I, you know, found starting off was that, you know, because I'm based in Bristol, I'm able to easily, you know, get stories and experiences from the Bristol team. But I think in having a kind of team of brand ambassadors that are out there kind of talking to people, saying, you know, hey, let's share these stories about what we're doing in our core locations. I think that's going to add extreme value. And I think any company, you know, that's got a global presence needs to be looking at something like that.
Mm.
So we're currently, you know, looking at how we put that process in place, how to identify people to do that. Because what we don't want is, you know, people feeling like if we ask them too directly that they're kind of forced into it. So we do really want to kind of let people step up and volunteer first and foremost. I think off the back of brand ambassadors, it would be, you know, good to have them involved in the, you know, the social side of things as well.
Yeah.
Employer branding and where's it going on the whole? I think we're just going to see this, you know, continued approach to companies really opening the door and saying, you know, making it as easy as possible for someone to really look inside and see what life is like at that company. And I think if a company, it's a bit like, you know, the consumer behavior, you know, you go somewhere, you look for something. If it's not there, you go somewhere else. Or if it, you don't know, or you don't understand, you go somewhere else. So for me, making sure our inverted commas shop window has everything that anybody that we would want to attract has to, you know, offer and show, I think that's going to be, you know, really key for a lot of companies, making sure that, you know, land on the website. Yes, I can see what it's like to work there. You know, what are the kind of core values of the company? What are people's experiences? Great. Yeah, I want to apply, or no, not for me. I think, you know, we're just going to see that trend keep on growing and growing and growing. And from there on, you know, I'm really excited to see what happens next. You know, like I said to you previously, you know, I'm quite, you know, fresh and into the employer branding world. So it's really key. I'm really excited to be in an industry where I'm not only learning and growing myself, but I'm able to really see trends kind of, you know, come up and kind of come to kind of light as I'm going through the learning process myself.
Yeah, absolutely. So, sorry.
What about yourself? I mean, do you have any sort of speculation as to, you know, where the kind of branding world is progressing in the employer world?
Oh, big question. I think more personalization. So big corporates will have, yeah, more CRM tools,
mm-hmm.
more about the candidate journeys, and I think a lot more measurement as well. So, yeah, trying to crack the ROI conundrum.
Mm.
And, yeah, transparency, as you're saying, Glassdoor and Indeed reviews and those sort of things. I think that's going to be the norm as opposed to, oh, that's something we need to be looking at.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's surprising the shift I've seen in the 4 years I've been at Forge Rock. You know, we're lucky to have a very strong Glassdoor profile. We have currently a 4.7 out of 5.
Oh, nice.
So that's, you know, in itself, you know, a brilliant tool to direct people to. But back when I started, you know, you'd have a couple candidates a year, maybe say, oh yeah, I applied because I saw, you know, the reviews. And now almost every candidate I speak to has been on our Glassdoor. So I see that just becoming more and more of a bigger, you know, emphasis on that.
Yeah, I noticed that Google for Jobs, they aggregate employer reviews as well from Glassdoor, Indeed, and other places, and they put it onto Google. So yeah, it's integrated. So very interesting.
I'm very interested.
Yeah. But where can our listeners learn more, and where can they connect with yourself, Ben?
Sure. So they can either follow Forge Rock directly on Twitter and Instagram by just searching Forge Rock, and can follow me directly on Twitter at AdventureBenj. I'm always posting about employer branding related stuff and our kind of, you know, opportunities at Forge Rock there.
Fabulous. Thank you so much for your time.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. There you have it, folks. Big thanks to Ben and the good people at Forge Rock. And be sure to subscribe to this podcast if you haven't already. You can do it at employerbrandingpodcast.com, as well as on iOS, on SoundCloud, and other purveyors of fine audio programming. And if you have tuned in via your iPhone or iPad or iOS device, then feel free to leave a review. And in a podcast app, it really helps us to reach more people like yourself. And also, if you like to stay up to date on all things employer brand, such as events, podcasts, research, articles, infographics, all that good stuff, please head over to linkhumans.com and sign up to our low-frequency newsletter. And of course, feel free to check out the Employer Brand Index, which is our approach to measuring your company's reputation as an employer. Wouldn't it be great to have a score, a number that you can track over time so you can then prove that ROI to your boss? Check it out at employerbrandindex.co. That's it for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in and look forward to catching up next time. Hey, doll!
A candidate was asked, what would you consider to be your main strengths and weaknesses? Well, he began, my main weaknesses would definitely be my issues with reality. Sometimes I have a little trouble telling what's real and what's not. Okay, said the interviewer. And what are your strengths? Well, I'm Batman, said the candidate.